Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
In a sense, we're going to focus on two verses in this passage that are not side by side. And yet, we're going to spend a lot of time today turning to other passages of Scripture as well to bring out the truths that are in these two verses. So Colossians chapter 2. And our text will be verses 10 and verse 15. And so let's go ahead and begin by reading those here. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. From time to time, I've led singing in different venues and different opportunities, and once in a while, we'll have some favorites. Sometimes, I've led favorites for groups week in and week out, and people will often select the hymn, Victory in Jesus. We sang it this morning. I suppose that leading singing, sometimes you begin to expect what song people might pick. And so sometimes you begin to expect that if you call on so-and-so, they're going to pick Victory in Jesus every single time. And Victory in Jesus is a great song. But my point being that there are times in which I have sang that song and not realized the blessings of those three words, Victory in Jesus. I suppose that there are times in which we just go through the motions of singing it and our mind can be on anything and everything else, but how much victory we truly have in Jesus Christ. But the truth of that, as is brought out in these two verses in our passage this morning, is a truth that we need to dwell upon. It's a truth that we need to park on and think on. To be honest, I think many times in our lives, we get desensitized by the things of this world, by our culture, by our media around us, whatever it may be, to the point that sometimes we may not even desire to have victory as much as we ought to desire to have it. We begin to enjoy the things of this world. We begin to enjoy, perhaps, the way our life is, even if our life isn't following the things of the Lord. We begin to just become desensitized to that and not realize that we could have so much greater victory there. We don't realize it. Our spiritual desires for Christ maybe are so anemic that we don't even care about the victory. We're not really motivated to struggle to have any victory in Jesus. At other times, though, we want the victory, don't we? There's some challenge that's going through our lives, and we look at this and we want to get over it. There's some besetting sin that we've struggled with for years and years and years, and at times we have great victory, it seems, over it, and yet at other times we seem like we wallow in defeat, and it's up and down and up and down, and in a sense in our lives we would just like for once and for good to be done with the thing. To have the victory over it, to see some growth in our lives in some sort of way. We feel and seem to be so trapped. We struggle with these changes that are in our lives. We look at this and we look at the Word of God and we think, you know, this just cannot be the way God intends for us to live our Christian lives. Surely He intends for us to have greater victory. Surely He intends for us to get over these things and to get past these different things in our lives. But often we really feel like we struggle with actually getting that victory. You know, sometimes we look at the temptations of the environment that are around us. You know, the workplace that we're in just make it really, really challenging. Sometimes the peers that we have, the friends that are around us. And we look at that and we just say, man, trying to serve the Lord in the environment that I'm living in is just going to be really difficult. In the day and time in which we live, it's going to be challenging. Sometimes we think of the world. We think of the world that's around us with all of its sensual pulls that you seem to not be able to go anywhere without being tempted by it. We see the horrible violence in the world, the fleshly appeals and all of that. And we wonder, how is it possible that we never have victory in these areas? Sometimes we see the demonic forces at work as it were in our lives or in our society, and we wonder, how in the world can it ever possibly be stopped? You know, we almost picture Jesus and Satan in a boxing match or a wrestling match, if you will, and here they are contending and duking it out as if Jesus and Satan are just neck and neck. As if Satan is just that powerful that maybe if Jesus is really lucky, he can eke out the victory. And sometimes we almost get to that mentality. We would never say it that way, but we almost look around at the demonic things that are going on, at the evil in our world today, and we say, how is it possible that we're ever going to win? How is it possible that victory is out there for us? You know, we get to almost to the place where we feel like we're on the losing side here, but we're on the winning side. You know, sometimes in our lives we look and we see all of the closed doors. We call them stoplights, don't we? Do you call them go lights? But they're green as much as they're red, it seems like, or pretty, you know, they let you go and they make you stop. And in the Christian life, we see all the red lights, we see all the stoplights, we see all of the closed doors, and you know, God can't work over here, and this is a closed door, and we couldn't serve God in this way, and we can't do it this way. And in times we look at all the closed countries, we look at all the governmental restrictions, we look at all the hard hearts that are out there, the people that would shut the door and turn their ears off and not listen to you or mock and reject you. We look at the depressing polls that are out there, and we begin to listen to those things, and we begin to live as if it's all closed. As if there's nothing that can be done. You look around at what the Muslims are doing and maybe you feel like they're experiencing explosive growth or something and they get their own way all of the time and they have such this great swing in political correctness in their favor. And you want to just tuck your tail between your legs and just walk away. Just wonder how you can possibly do it. Maybe it's Mormon country. Maybe it's Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever else you may think out there that they have the advantage at times. Sometimes we look at victory and we think it's so impossible. We think it's so far. We think it's so distant in our lives. We begin to get quite a fear of the enemy. We begin to see their powers. We begin to see what they're doing here. We begin to think of them as being unstoppable. You know that, hey, the agenda that's out there in our legislature and the agenda that's out there in our government, they're just rolling through like a freight train. No one's able to stop them. You know, we as Christians, we can't do anything about it. It's just going to happen. We look at Revelation sometimes at the end of our Bibles. And you know we're so excited about the fact that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we say we can't wait till that day when He rules with a rod of iron and He rules this earth. We can't wait till He's King. And that's true. But we forget what this passage teaches us here this morning. That it's not that He will be King, though that is right. That He is King now. We forget that He already has the victory. We forget the truth that is brought out in this passage. You know, sometimes we're even impressed by the good guys. We're overwhelmed by the bad guys. We're overwhelmed by the forces of evil that are around us here. But on the other hand, sometimes we're really impressed by the good guys in this sense. We're really impressed by the angelic forces. We're really impressed by the spiritual forces that are out there for good. And what we're impressed at is at this level, when we need to be impressed with Jesus Christ, we need to see that He is the one with the victory. We need to see that He is the head of all principalities and powers. Before we proceed on in this passage over the next couple of weeks, I wanted to just park on this one truth so that I could meditate on it and then help you to meditate on it as well, because I think it's important for us to consider. These different things that I mentioned just a moment ago are real. These are the mentalities that we have as Christians many times. And we need to interact with them. We need to stop them, and we need to consider what the Word of God has to say. And so in our passage here in Colossians chapter number 2, the context of verses 10 and verse number 15 is that Paul has this tremendous burden for the people, his friends, his Christian friends at Colossae. He has not met most of them. He hasn't been there to minister to them in their church, but he has a real passion for them and a really, real great burden for them. He sees them as people that are orderly. They are in their walk with God, and they are doing what God wants them to do in their life. They're just fulfilling God's word there, fulfilling what God's desires are. He sees them as people that are steadfast, they're faithful, they're consistent in their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, even though he sees them this way, he is very concerned, verse 4 tells us, because they are in danger. And the danger that is out there is that they could be beguiled, they could be lied to and deceived of the great rewards that they have in Jesus Christ. Even though they're these great and godly Christians, what a challenge this is to our lives. And so Paul gives us two defenses. In verse number 6, he tells them the first defense is this, that they need to walk in Him. In order to keep from walking away from Christ, they need to walk in Christ. If you're going to keep from giving up on Jesus Christ, just keep spending time with Him every day. And the best offense is a good defense here in that sense. And then he tells us the second defense is brought out in verse number 8, not only to walk, but verse number 8 says to watch out or to beware. There are philosophies that are out there that would kidnap you, that would take you captive, and would seek to ruin you and destroy you and spoil you. The characteristics of these philosophies is that they follow the traditions of men, they follow the basics of this world, and when you boil it all down, the fact is this, they don't follow Christ. So he is very concerned about them. He says, you're not following Christ. But the truth is, verse number 9, all the fullness of the Godhead is in Jesus Christ. Why would you want to follow anything else when you have Jesus Christ? In verse 10, then he says, and you're complete in Christ. You're full. You have every single thing you need in Christ. Now, I believe as we look in the next couple weeks on verses 10 down through 15, we are going to see several different things that we have in Jesus Christ that make us complete in Christ. And we're going to walk through it very slowly because this is rich truth for us. This is something that we need to grasp in our lives. And the first truth that we are seeing is this, that in Christ we have victory. We're complete in the victory that Christ gives us. Let's read through 10 through 15 just to see how it all comes together. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so you see down through those verses how much we have in Jesus Christ. He's going to bring out several different details. And this morning, the first truth that we're going to see here brought out is that He is the head of all principalities and powers. It's interesting there in the first half of the verse, ye are complete in Him. Then it says, which is. We could also translate that, who is. It's referring to Jesus Christ. It's tying back to Him. And the more we learn about Jesus Christ, the more we learn about how complete we are in Him. You need to be here these next couple weeks. You need to study Colossians in the Bible. You need to see all the power that Jesus Christ has, because Jesus Christ is in you. The mystery is this, Christ is in you, and you're in Christ. And so as you learn of Jesus Christ, you learn of the wonderful truths and the riches that you have in Jesus Christ. And He's told us back in verse number 9 that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. Every single part of God is in Jesus Christ. No wonder we are complete. We've got God. What else is there? We have God. We have everything. No wonder we are complete in Jesus Christ. And now He comes down into the end of verse number 10, and He's going to tell us something else about Jesus Christ, that He is the head of all principalities and powers. You know, sometimes I feel like some people have their fingers in everything. And I mean that in a good way. I once knew a man like this in a smaller community. His family for several generations had grown up in the community, and as a result, just all of the family and having grown up there, everybody knew that family. Everybody knew the man's family. Everybody knew him. And you know what? He knew everybody. He probably couldn't have gone to Walmart without stopping to talk to two or three or four people because he knew them all. You know, he was just involved in community things. He was involved in all sorts of different things. He had worked in the city for many years in different jobs, and so interacted with lots of different people in that way. Later on, his job was somewhat of a government job, and this particular government job had him out traveling in the area, in the community, and interacting with all sorts of people. And so he knew more people, and he had more connections, and he had government connections, and he had public connections, and he had his family connections. And you know, you could go up to the individual and you could ask the individual a question, or you could ask the individual to do you a favor. You could be just talking about something with the person, and they could say, you know what? I know somebody who can do that. I know somebody who can help us out with that. I know someone who can open that door so we can do that for our church. And you'd be like, how is that possible? You know, it's just, the more you knew about the person, the more you discovered, man, they were involved in this, and they were more involved in this, and they were involved in this, and they had connections here, and they could make things happen here, and they could do this. And you know, that's the way it is with Jesus Christ in this passage. You just read in verse number 9, he's completely God, excuse me, he's completely God. And then you come to verse number 10, and it tells you something else about him. And verse number 11, we have something else in him. And 12, something else. And on down through the passage, all these different things about Jesus Christ. It's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when it says, which is, it's referring to Jesus Christ and telling us more about him. The same God, or the same Christ that is the fullness of the Godhead, is the same God in whom I am complete. It's the same one that's the head of all. This word head here is used in the Greek-speaking world to sometimes bring out the concept of the source. We talk about the headwaters of a river. We talk about how the food to your body comes through your head. You eat something and the nourishment comes in that way. And so sometimes it's the idea of source. But one Bible student examined 2,300 different uses of this word head in the ancient Greek culture, and he found that every single time head is used, yes, it may sometimes bring out the idea of source, sometimes, but it always brings out the idea of authority. It always brings out the idea of sovereignty, that if someone is the head, they are sovereign over something. They are the head over that particular thing. The concept of authority must be present. Yes, you may be talking about the source, but you have to be talking about being sovereign. And here in our text it says that Christ, which is the head, Christ is the head. He is sovereign. This is the way he is. I like it. It says, which is. It doesn't say which will be the head. It doesn't say which was the head. This is the way he is right now. This is a fact. This is the way it is in 2013 that Christ is the head. It's not that he's just going to have the victory in the future. Yes, he will. It's not that he had the victory in the past. Yes, he did. But it's that he has the victory right now as well. This condition is true right now, and I want you to understand it. He is the head, our text says, of all principality. Principality. The word principality is literally the idea of first. It's the idea of a leader. It's the idea that this leader initiates others to do different things of activity. It's the idea that he is coming along first and leading others to find him, or to follow him. That is the word picture behind principality. Therefore, it's the idea of a ruler, someone in a position of leadership, here translated principalities. Powers. Powers are those people who have the power, the authority to lead. There are people in those positions of power. There are people in those positions of authority. Sometimes it's translated authority. And so it's rulers and authorities, or principalities or powers. But there's that one word that we have seen Paul use over and over and over throughout Colossians. I skipped over it there. It says, which is, or who is, the head of all principalities and powers. Quite literally, Paul is saying he is the head of every principality and every power. He is the head of every ruler and every authority. There is not one ruler, there is not one authority that is able to escape. Not one is independent of Jesus Christ. Not one is greater than Jesus Christ. Not one ultimately gets his power from anyone else but Jesus Christ. He is sovereign over every single one. He is the source of every single one. He has the power. Not one of them is more significant than Jesus Christ. Not one of them is able to act really independent of Jesus Christ. In fact, Colossians 1 and verse number 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He's saying that Jesus Christ created all of these principalities and powers. Again, there's that source concept. They got their very life and existence from him. He is the source of every single one of the authorities and powers, and he is the ongoing sovereign over every single one of them. Now, who then are these principalities and powers? Luke chapter 12 and verse number 11 uses the word just in a regular secular context, talking about magistrates, governors, that sort of thing. Certainly they are principalities and powers. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1 tells us to be subject to the principalities. We're supposed to be subject to magistrates. It's the idea of regular governmental rulers and other people that are authorities in our lives. Certainly we understand that that's the case. The government of Coon Rapids, as great as it may be, is still underneath this head. The government of our country, or our state, our legislatures, they may think that they can do anything that they want. They may think that they can sign any bill that they want to sign. But the one that gave them those powers is Christ. The powers that be are ordained of God. He holds the sway. The powers of our nation today are not there because they just had the power on their own, just because they were independent of Jesus Christ. No, He allowed them to have that power. I'm not saying that He promotes them to do evil. I'm not saying any of that sense. I'm just saying they couldn't do anything if He didn't let them do it. He is the power. He is the authority in our political world today. He is that. But I want you to turn back to Ephesians. Not only is this word used in that sense of human powers, Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, a very familiar passage. But this concept is also used, and I think especially in this passage is used in this way, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so here this is describing the demonic forces, the demonic principalities and powers, the demonic realm that is out there. And other passages bring that out as well. And as the message progresses, you'll begin to see that unfolding. And I want to just excite you with this simple truth here this morning, that Jesus Christ is over them all. He's over our governor. He's over our mayor. He's over myself. He's over your boss. He is over our president. He's over our Congress. He's over the Senate. He's over the police. He's over the political powers in other countries. He's over every single one of them. And He's over every demonic force as well. Don't sit there crippled in your seats thinking, oh, these demonic forces are so strong. Yeah, they may be, but you serve someone who is over them all. Don't look at the closed doors saying, we can't because the forces of evil are keeping us from it. Maybe it is challenging, but our God is greater than them all. He is head over them all. And this morning I want to bring out four truths from this passage here that I hope that will drive this home. The first one is this: Christ's headship over all authorities is a fact. What I'm telling you this morning is a fact. This is the way it is. And I want you to see this in the Word of God. And we're going to take the time to turn there. Matthew. Go to Matthew in your Bibles. I want you to see it's right from the text. It's not something I'm making up here. Matthew 28 in your Bibles. We're just going to walk through the Bible and see this brought out. A very familiar passage. Matthew 28 and verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's the same word power there that is used in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 and verse number 15. And Jesus Christ is going to give His great commission, and before He even starts, He says, listen, you need to get a real firm grasp on who I am. It's going to help you as you seek to witness. It's going to help you as you seek to go forward to spread my word. You need to understand, I have all authority. Whether it's in heaven, the spiritual realm, or on earth, I've got it all. See, when He's talking here about being head, it is a fact. Go to John 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 16 and verse number 11. John 16 and verse number 11. I realize it takes time to turn, but I want you to see these passages instead of just listening to me rattle them off. John 16 and verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? The devil himself. And Jesus Christ is saying, listen, I want you to understand that the Satan, the devil, he's judged. It's over here. Understand that. And the truth of the passage is this. He's saying when the Holy Spirit comes, and He has come since Jesus was talking there, He says He is going to convince people that judgment's coming. Listen, don't sit there and think you can get by in your life and you're never going to have to answer to God. Don't think that you can do whatever you want. Don't think that you're powerful enough to escape God. Don't think that you can live your life the way you want to. He says, how do you know that? How are you going to be convinced that judgment's coming? Because the devil's already been judged. And let me tell you, the devil's a whole lot stronger, a whole lot more powerful than you are. And if the fact of the matter is that God has already judged the devil, if He's already had the victory over the devil, then it's not going to be any problem for Him to judge you and I as well. So be convicted of it. The prince of this world is judged. Go to Romans chapter 8. John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 38. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing's going to be able to separate us. He has such victory over these principalities and powers that they cannot separate us from the love of God. Again, how do you know the love of God? You know the love of God through Christ Jesus. You can tell that God loved us by the fact that He died on the cross for our sins, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. That if you'll simply repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He'll save you and you'll enjoy a wonderful relationship both now and for all eternity in heaven with Him. He spoiled these. He had the victory over them. Let's look over to 1 Corinthians. Romans, and then 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 24. Then cometh the end. 1 Corinthians 15, 24. When He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. He has the victory over Him. We read Ephesians chapter 1 this morning in our scripture reading. And it simply says this, that He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet. Christ's headship over all authority is a fact this morning. This is something that Scriptures teach to us. And the Ephesians passage tells us that Jesus Christ is the head, and He's been given to the church. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. He's more powerful than the legislature. He is more powerful than the governor. He has more power than little Prince George will ever enjoy. He's more power than the President of the United States. He has more power than Satan. He's the head over them all. Go to Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians, back there by Colossians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue. The fact of His headship over all, it's there. It's a fact. It's brought out in Scriptures. Go to the back of your Bibles, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. While you're turning there, I'll read Daniel. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 21 says this, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve Him." It's a fact. 1 Peter 3 and verse 22, talking about Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. He's over them all. Turn just to the last book of the Bible, then Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And we'll read a few verses here. You need to let the Word of God sink into your heart this morning. Revelation 5, verse number 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and just thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. It's a fact. Jesus Christ is head over all authorities. And listen, Satan may have convinced back in the days of Noah the whole world to follow his plan except one family of eight. The whole world may have followed him. And you know, there may be a day coming in which Satan will have his little puppets all set up and the world will follow him and they'll persecute people that will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Satan may get to his whole armies to follow after him. And you know, it may happen again after the 1,000-year reign of Christ for just a brief spell that Satan may go out and gather all the armies of the earth together against Jesus Christ. Satan may get the whole world to follow him. The greatest principality and power, if you will, under God. But just remember, even if he has the whole world, he's still under God. He's still under Jesus Christ. It's a fact of the matter. Jesus Christ still rules. Look at Revelation 20. Hear this last part. Revelation 20. This last verse under this point. Revelation 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. It doesn't matter whether it's the devil. It doesn't matter whether it's the beast. It doesn't matter whether it's the false prophet. It doesn't matter if it's the greatest person in history, the most powerful military mind, the wealthiest individual in the world, the most hateful, atheistic person in the world, or persons who valiantly stand up against Christianity for their own religions. It doesn't matter their power. It doesn't matter their strength. There's going to be a day coming in which they're going to stand before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're going to give an account of their life, and if their name's not written in his book, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. He is head over all. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter how powerful they think they may be. And dear friend, can I say to you this morning, the only way to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life is to have the Lamb's life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You can't earn your way there. You can't be good enough on your own. It's not by going to church. It's not by how you were raised. It's by the time coming in which you turn from your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ and the Son moves in. You have his life inside of you and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I want you to see that it's just a simple fact that Jesus Christ is the head over everything. I'm not an expert on world history, but I am told that King Rama V of Siam, or Thailand, was a man of the people. He did many things for his people, and they loved him greatly for it. And one of the things that King Rama V liked to do was to put on peasant clothing and just go out into his kingdom with the real people of his kingdom. Interact with them, sometimes interacting with poor people, just interacting with all people. He would talk to them. They would talk to him. He would listen as they would tell him their stories and tell him their heartaches and tell him the troubles and the problems that they were having. And then he would go back to his palace and he would do something about it. Here it was that there was the king right there in their midst and they didn't even realize it. And so many times I think that is the way it is in our own Christian life. That we see Jesus Christ, that we know about Him, but we don't realize the extent of His power. We don't realize the extent of His authority. We don't realize who He really is. That He is the head over all. It's a fact of the matter. He is the head. He's in charge. And He needs to shape our lives. And the second truth that I want you to see is this, that Christ's headship over all authorities was due to the cross. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll see this brought out here. Just briefly, much shorter point. How did this happen? How is it to be that Jesus Christ had this? This was part of God's plan all along to have the victory in this way. We learn this from Matthew 25 and verse number 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart ye cursed, depart from me ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God's been preparing for that day for a long time. And 1 John 3 and verse number 8 tells us this, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus Christ come? To destroy the works of the devil. So that He could be the head over all authority. Hebrews chapter 2, and verse number 14 says this, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself, talking about Jesus Christ, likewise took part of the same, in other words, He took on flesh, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. It happened on the cross that Jesus Christ destroyed the devil. And is made the head over all authority, the head over all rulers. Number three, Christ's headship over all authorities means our headship over all authorities. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 2. He is the head. Ephesians chapter number 2. It's interesting to me that in our Colossians passage that we're looking at in verse number 10, chapter 2 and verse number 10, he starts the verse this way. You are complete in Christ. You're complete in Him. You have everything that you need in Christ. And then he connects that thought to the fact that Jesus Christ is the head. In other words, there's something about Him being the head that makes you complete. The very fact that He has the authority then passes down that authority to you. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together, in other words, made us live, together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are sitting in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Now, to be honest, you say, no, I'm not. I'm sitting in this air-conditioned auditorium on a really hot day, which is a nice place to be. I'm sitting in a blue chair, and I am not in heaven right now. Well, the problem with us is this. We're so connected to this body, aren't we? We associate all of life with this material body. And we kind of need to get away from that. At other times, people see things much differently, and the Scriptures talk about it much differently. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Someone said it this way, that in other people's mindsets, they think of the spirit as being the true essence. That's the way we need to be. The material, the physical, is just the accidental. It's just a sideline. Do you know how you know this? Because the moment you, as a real person, move out of your body, this thing just disintegrates. The moment you go to either heaven or hell, this body just falls apart and just goes into nothing, just rots away. This isn't the reality. The real you is the spiritual you. And so no wonder then you are actually seated in heaven. Yes, your body is here, but you are seated with Christ in heaven. Since Christ is exalted and enthroned, you're exalted. You have this position on the throne. It's interesting, in Mark chapter 3, it talks about Jesus Christ calling His 12 disciples. And it says that He did this. He ordained them that they should be with Him. He sent them to preach. He gave them power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. They had that power. Why? He gave it to them. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7 tells them He gave them power over unclean spirits. Mark 16 and verse number 17, He says, In My name shall they cast out devils. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 1, He gave them power and authority over all devils. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17, the 70 returned with joy saying, Even the devils are subject through Thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the earth. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Listen, I'm not saying that you know, we need to bring in a bunch of serpents and tread on those. And he was talking there to the disciples at that given time, and there's a lot more to that story. But what I'm simply trying to bring out is this, that Jesus Christ has then given you that power in the sense that you're in Him. He's in you. And so if He is the head of all authority, part of the blessing is that I'm complete in Him. I have that. And so number four, let's just briefly make some practical applications. Christ's headship over all authority should impact my life. Today I want to remind you who's on the throne. Jesus Christ is on the throne right now. It's not that He will be, it's that He's on the throne right now. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. He's on the throne, not allowing some temptations to come through to your life. He's in charge. Hey, this morning, we are not defeated. We do not have to sin. We can advance the cause of Christ. You know, sometimes we don't have any problems realizing that Jesus Christ will reign. We struggle to understand maybe that He is reigning. And if we can grasp the fact that He is reigning, then we struggle to see that we're reigning with Him. We're struggling to see that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. And this is something this morning, Christian, that you already have. It's not something based on your feelings. It's not something based on you working it up. It's not something based on you earning it. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have it. You don't have to sin. You don't have to be defeated. That besetting sin, that struggle, you can have the victory over it. Why? Because He is head of all things. He's the head. This morning I want you to adore Him. This morning I want it to change your life. Don't look out there and say, you know what, Jesus Christ. Or look out there and it's not Jesus Christ, but you look at all the enemy and you look at all the difficulties and you look at all the challenges and you think there's just no way Christianity can do it. Why don't we look out there and say, you know what, the God that I serve, the Christ that's inside of me, He's the head over all. And if He wants to, He can open some of those doors and He can take care of a few things and He can resolve some things like this. He can have the victory here. He can move some mountains here. And I'm complete in Him. I have everything that I need because I have Christ. Christ is God. I'm complete in Him because I have Christ. And Christ is the head over every single thing. He's the head of all power and authority. So this morning I want to challenge you with this. And perhaps more in the future we can look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 15 and see how he describes this great victory that he has in spoiling the principalities and triumphing over them in it. We do not have the victory because we do not see ourselves for who we are in Christ. We're complete in a Christ that's the head over everything.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.